This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, multiple... insurance needs. We all have them. All right. Well, how do you handle it? You need to go to the pros. Pros. They're great people. Great people that happen to be great pros. And they also want to save you money. Now that's important always. So it may be going across state lines, you know, where permissible. It may be bundles, but they'll try and save you money. Next up, they also will update your policies because customer service means everything to them, and they also want to give back to the community. And in giving back to the community, that includes, by the way, the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, which will be Wednesday, August 7th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club that will benefit the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. So you can get online with them. Get your team together, give back. That tournament raises anywhere from $25,000 to $30,000 a year for the Y. And they're just, again, great people. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Get Jody McDonald in just a few moments. We'll talk to Jody Mack about some about Willie Mays.
He is here, sir.
And since he is here, we'll talk to him about it now. Jody, my friend, always a pleasure. Welcome on a steamy day.
In honor of Willie Mays, I'll say hey to you, the all-time greatest baseball player I've ever seen. And I didn't get to see him in his prime, but I did get to see last couple of years in San Francisco in his 1 year with the Mets. The best all-around baseball player who I believe ever, and certainly the best baseball player, all-around baseball player I ever saw play.
Yeah, we always talk about the five-tool player. Well, to me, he is the five-tool player. After that, there are others that try to be. I always thought he was, because I saw him play too, I thought he was the five-tool player.
It's a phrase that has been used in baseball language for decades, and the decades longer than you and I go back, Well before, during Willie's time, and has just used that much more these days. And that's usually used about guys coming through the system when you're trying to evaluate what kind of potential a guy has. You grade him on all five of those scales: ability to hit with power, ability to field, ability to throw, and ability to run. Mm-hmm. Willie Mays, on the scouting scale that my father always used, it was 0 to 8. If you ask me why it was 0 to 8, not 0 to 10, I couldn't tell you, but it was 0 to 8. 8 was the highest grade you could get. Yeah. For me, Willie Mays was an 8 in all five categories.
What about the mind of Willie Mays? He always seemed to be, at least when I watched him, the smartest guy in the field, knew how to run the bases, knew what base to throw to, knew what the situation was. I'm going to guess that the mind was an 8 as well.
Agreed. My father, a quick funny story for you. I was doing the WIP morning show this week, so I was going to bed earlier than I usually do. And I got up in the morning and I had a text from my dad at 12:37 a.m. My father's not up at 12:37 a.m. anymore. When you see something like that, you get all worried. Because why would my father be reaching out this time, and I didn't get a chance to call him back till the next morning? He called me after midnight just to talk about Willie Mays. because he was with the Mets when he was traded there. Mm-hmm. He worked the Polo Grounds and Ebbets Field, where Willie played hundreds of games as a Giant against the Dodgers, and he just wanted to talk about his greatness and tell me, in case I didn't remember, that he was in the Polo Grounds the day that Willie Mays made one of the most famous catches off Nick Wirtz in the World Series.
Yep.
And he said, I was working that day in Ebbets Field as an usher, and he got to see it with his own two eyes. But he said, it was about 500 feet from where I was, because he was working behind home plate, and Mays made the catch in straightaway center field, more than 500 feet from home plate.
And it wasn't just the catch, Jody. It was the throw.
Right.
I mean, that's the part that, like, every time I watch it, go, he knew exactly where he wanted to throw it, and he got rid of it so fast. The throw was unbelievable.
And it was like Willie made most of his throws sidearm.
Yes.
Which flew in the face of what you were supposed to do. Now we look at regimented quarterbacks and have to release the ball just the same way. It's the reason why Patrick Mahomes wasn't the number one pick in the draft the year he came out, because he would throw from all these funky angles, and some scouts debated whether he could do it. I guarantee you there were some scouts that said, this guy's never going to be a good center fielder because he throws everything sidearm. He's the greatest center fielder in history of the game.
Yeah, no question. The Mets, you know, when your dad was there, did acquire him. So it was at the end. So what are your recollections, and then maybe your dad's recollections, of the pluses of Willie Mays going to the Mets, but also the fact that we all know it was the end?
Well, the Mets didn't care that it was the end. They were hoping to make a playoff/World Series run, which they did, and went to the seventh game of the World Series and came up short against the A's. But they knew that Willie was going to step away at the end of the year, and he wanted to finish his career back in New York, where he started with the New York Giants before he went out to San Francisco. So there was no long-term implications. It was just for the end of that season. So it didn't matter that he was going to retire after the year. He surely wasn't Willie Mays of the 50s and the 60s that the Mets were acquiring in 1973, and he shared center field with Don Hahn, a name that is probably pretty forgettable.
I remember.
One thing that always annoyed me, World Series against the A's, there was a ball that Willie Mays struggled badly under in center field and couldn't come up with the catch. And it was absolutely a catchable ball. And people said afterwards that it was because Willie was 43 and shouldn't be playing anymore. He lost it in the sun.
Right.
That can happen to anybody. A 23-year-old, a 33-year-old, a 43-year-old. It had nothing to do with Willie not being the same player he had been previously. He just got a bad, the Mets got a bad break that day that he lost that ball in the sun. And I thought the critique and criticism of him at that time and ever since has been way out of bounds.
I'm so glad you told that story, because that's what I always understood, that he actually lost it. But the narrative, and you and I both know what narratives mean, the narrative was, oh, well, he's gone. Yep, he can't do it anymore. And it was like exactly the opposite. It ended up that it was a simple thing that Don Hahn would have had trouble with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Hahn was a hell of a center fielder in his day.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Mays, but a hell of a center fielder in his own.
Yeah.
If the ball lined up with the sun the way it should have with Don Hahn, he would have lost it too.
I think what the Mets were, what, 83-79 that year, something like that.
And, yeah, and they got just over 500, but then went into the playoffs and won, which got them into the World Series. And they were up 3-2 heading back to Oakland. And there was much second guessing about whether he should use Tom Seaver on 3 days rest. Yogi Berra is the manager, and he decided to stick with his rotation. And the Mets did come up short those last 2 games in Oakland.
I mean, the Mets are in the race. And, of course, had 1-69, but they're in the race. But what did it mean to the fans of New York beyond being in the race that Willie Mays was back on an everyday basis?
It was certainly a boost to Met fans. Now, they won the World Series in 69 as the Miracle Mets, but then it dropped backwards, and they had this chance this year, and people thought Willie could be, quote-unquote, the missing piece. And he played well. He didn't play anywhere to the Willie Mays standards, but he hadn't played like that for the Giants either. So everyone knew that it was an advanced age version of Willie Mays, but he made a big addition to that clubhouse. And gave a lot of confidence to the players around him, and he was one of those guys you talked about, his baseball acumen and how smart he was in the field. He also knew how to handle his teammates, and he pumped up some of the young guys the Mets had on that team, and that's why it was a smart acquisition. The guy they gave up, Charlie Williams, who I remember my father telling me he's a pretty good prospect at the time and pitched for the Mets that year, had just gotten up to the big leagues, stuck around for 8 years in the big leagues, was never a big-time pitcher, but hey, if you're in the big leagues for 8 years, you're doing something right.
Yeah, I mean, no question about that. Oh, the other irony, of course, is that this would be something that your dad would probably know all about. Who's the guy who was on deck when Bobby Thompson hit the home run? It's Willie
That's
Mays.
Right. He was very young Willie Mays, as a matter of fact.
That was an interesting time. When they had all three teams together in New York, Dodgers, Giants, Yankees, what did your dad tell you about that time of baseball in the city of New York?
And at the, he was still working at Ebbets Field at the time. He hadn't gotten into the big leagues yet. He started with the Mets in 1962 when the Mets started as well. So he was still just a guy working the turnstiles and ushering and stuff like that. It was the heyday. It was the best that New York ever had because the Dodgers were very good, the Yankees were outstanding, and the Giants had guys like Willie Mays, and they weren't getting too many World Series or winning championships, but they were always a tough light team with Mays as a member of it. There's the famous song about Willie, Mickey, and the Duke, the three center fielders, all Hall of Famers playing in New York at the same exact time, which became very famous. Yeah, I would say those are the halcyon days of New York baseball.
There's a lot of ways. See, Willie Mays is real to you and I because we watched him play, and really real to you because you were there seeing it all the time. Is it interesting that in some ways he's almost like a figure of mythology because it's been a long time since he played?
For some, yeah, it is. Maybe not for you and I, because you're right. We had firsthand experience as youngsters, but good enough to remember.
We're still young.
That can only look up his numbers in baseballreference.com and be able to see how great he is. And for me, guys like Babe Ruth certainly played before I played.
Right.
But my father was a youngster when he played. So you have the people that you trust who are older than you to be able to fill in the blanks for you, tell you just how great a guy was. Yeah. Anybody ever wants to ask me about Willie Mays, I'm going to tell you he's the most well-rounded player I ever saw play the game.
Yeah. We're still young, by the way.
We fake it well, Steve Jones.
Yes, we do, Jody Mack. We do fake it really well. But guess what? Might as well think it. Might as well think it right now. Hey,
fake it till you make it. I love that phrase.
Yeah, exactly. Just a couple quick notes on some other things going on. Phillies have hit kind of a little bit of a rut, really, for the first time. It's 162 games. You're going to hit a rut. Is it any coincidence that happens with JT out of the lineup?
Oh, no. I think that's a big part of it. There were a couple guys, like Nola was due to have a bad game. He did. And Wheeler was due to have a bad game. He did. They just happened to have him back-to-back at the same time, so it looks a little worse than it actually is. They're fine, and Realmuto was back with the club, and some of the media got a chance to talk to him. He says he thinks he's going to be back in 3 weeks, which would be shorter than what Dave Dombrowski let on and what it usually is for recovery time for the surgery he had. But you can never put a hard and fast number on that because the tear's the tear, and we don't know exactly how much of the tear had to be repaired. So if he's back in... And I'll even go so far as to say take it to the All-Star game, which means more like 5 weeks, and let's say he misses 30 games. They can get through the 30 games. Their catching is certainly not the same it is with JT, but it's major league level, and if everyone else picks it up a little bit, they'll be able to keep the Braves at bay.
Yeah, again, the starting pitching continues to be phenomenal. They do get, here's a guy that's not in the lineup. We talked about Turner and JT, but Brandon Marsh has been out too. Just as a guy that may not be the star, what does he mean when he's out there?
Well, now it's very important because they've decided to put the Rojas experiment on hold by sending him down. And yeah. I was very outspoken coming out of spring because he got off to a terrible start in spring. And people go, he's not coming north. He's not coming north. I said, yeah, he is. They want him to be their center fielder. And they gave him 3 months' worth of rope, and he wasn't doing everything they expected him to do. So they decided for both his own future and the Phillies' current need to stay games ahead of the Braves, it'd be better to send him down. And that means Marsh is going to be in center field most days. They'll put Pache out there every once in a while against a tough left-hander because Marsh really does struggle against tough left-handers. But he's darn close to an everyday center fielder. So, yes, they need him to stay healthy from here on out.
And in order to make this lineup whole the way it is, last year Bryce Harper became a first baseman. You've now seen Harper in the second season of doing it. What kind of fielder is he defensively at first? Because you and I both know that the Tino Martinez and the Mark Teixeiras of the world can suddenly make an infield exponentially better. So what kind of first baseman's Harper been?
He's not that kind of first baseman. The guys you know, the Keith Hernandez, the Mark Hernandez, Mark Teixeira, the world. No. He's not that kind of first baseman. What he is much better than Rhys Hoskins, because Hoskins was a well below defensive first baseman.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Harper's average. And if you push me and say, no, Jody, you got to go either slightly above or slightly below, I'd probably go to slightly above. He's a slightly above average fielding first baseman. And for a guy who's only been doing it for not even a full calendar year, that's not bad. And never been a first baseman before in his life, always an outfielder. To expect more than slightly above average would probably be pushing the envelope. He's good. He's solid. Slightly above average at first base. So the Phillies are good defensively there.
So let me ask you something, because I always love hearing your perspective on it. As somebody who grew up around the game, what do you love about today's game, and what do you miss from the way the game was played a couple decades, three, four decades ago?
I'll give you what bothers me some about today's game. I got into an argument on WIP the other day. They're saying the pitching is so much better with the spin rate and the velocity and everything else. And the batting average is down. You back it up 20 years ago. Just the overall league average to what it was 20 years ago is down 20 points, which is pretty damn significant. But, you know, it's not down. Runs scored.
Right.
So does it matter if your batting average is 20 points down as long as you're scoring the same exact number of runs? And they're scoring more runs because it's a boomer bust game. It's home runs and strikeouts, and that wasn't always the case. And there are still some guys who make great contact. I think it's probably because they can't generate the kind of power that would need be to be a 25 home run hitter. Anybody who's got that kind of muscle and power, they try and make into a 25 home run guy. That does bother me, because I thought the game was just more pleasant to watch, more strategic to watch and second guess as well, instead of the home run based game that we've got now in Major League Baseball. What do I miss? What I like about the other than the fact that they put the ball in play? They leaned on starting pitching. At some point it became a bullpen game. And it is for all 30 of the Major League teams. There isn't one team like Billy Martin back in the day said, I'm going with a four-man rotation. When everybody else was doing five, he said, I don't care, I'm spitting in the face of it. And he rolled his four starters out there every single day, and he made the playoffs with that team. Nobody's going to do that in Major League Baseball today. It's become such an analytical game, you open yourself up for criticism and second-guessing if you wanted to try and go back to something old school.
Yeah, I'll give you two quick things. One about a strikeout's like any other out. Wrong. You put the ball in play, things happen, or could happen. Number two, from an announcer's point of view, I can't stand when they tell me, you know, that would only be a home run in seven of the 30 ballparks. Hey, sport, guess what? It's a home run here tonight. I don't really care.
That's the only thing that matters. The ballpark you're playing in at this point right here, right now.
It's always fun. I don't care what we're talking about. Jody, thanks so much. Appreciate you. And guess what? I don't care what anybody says. We're still young.
Yes, we are, but we're not as young as we used to be, so stay indoors. It's hot outside, Steve Jones. I hope you got the AC cranked in that studio.
It's cranked up in here, Jody McMurray. Cranked up where you are, too, okay, my friend?
You got it, brother.
Thanks so much. The great Jody Mack. Always great to talk with him. And again, you know, you got to remember the perspective which he comes from. Okay? It's the perspective. Right? You know, that's why, you know, it was great that we lined him up to talk about Willie Mays. But it's also great to get a perspective of somebody who literally grew up around the game. I mean, his dad was still an invaluable scout for the Red Sox as late, you know, as late as the 2018 World Series. His dad got a ring for that. I mean, that's perspective right there. All right. This half hour has been brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They'll take care of all your insurance needs, do everything they can to save you money. Great people who are great pros, all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. As we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
The Kings should be next. Todd, I'd like to point out it's another big suit show.
I will defend him that Jody Mack was his idea as well, so.
Why do you have to be such a suck-up?
If my brother listened, I'd tell you the truth. It's because I learned from the best.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
In-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, and this half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. The best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers. Now in this heat, water, water, water. Hydrate. Lots of Brewers Outlet water. Soft drinks. Want a little flavor? Snacks. Lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies, by the way. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Why do I mention them? They're my two favorites. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right. And by the way, start stocking up for the 4th of July. I mean, look, it's kind of, essentially, it's going to be a four-day weekend. It's on a Thursday. Come on. I mean, it's time to sit back and have some fun. Let's party. And that's what I tell everybody all the time. Let's have, I mean, look, I realize that we all have to go through different things, trials, tribulations, things like that, whatever. I understand all that. That you know, totally understand that. Completely understand that. But those moments where we can have fun, just have fun. Turn it loose. Have some laughs. I mean, sure, you may not have the suit at your party where it's an easy target. What? No, Todd, you don't want to go there?
I'm not touching it.
I knew you wouldn't. You just have become such a company guy. Yeah.
Sometimes you have to be.
come on. You know? You act like they're going to get rid of you.
Honestly, I went looking for somebody. There isn't anybody here to get rid of me right now.
See, that's what I've been telling you about the place. Oh, man. All right.
It is 2:40 on Friday afternoon. I think most people prefer not to be at work at this point.
Oh, you're telling me.
It's summertime.
Oh, it is. And I think that's what's so awesome about it. You know? Yeah, that's what I love about it. It's that time of the year. People want to get out. I mean, I know I want to go out and play a little golf. Why not? You know, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go to basketball practice first. Yeah, well, that's about maybe 45 minutes because, I mean, they've already started for the day, so I'm not off till 3. And I've been able to catch about 45 minutes of it. And I was talking about this the other day about this team. You know, and I know there's a lot of people talking about football, which I totally understand because I know I talk a ton about football. But I've gone to basketball practice. Okay. So how good are they? Everybody always wants to know that. And I always have a simple answer about, well, you know, this team has that back, this back, whole thing. With the transfer portal, it has become so difficult to really get a gauge on who's good. I don't know if you've found that. Because you don't know how all the parts fit together.
I was just going to say, I was just reading a summary on The Athletic on all the Big Ten transfers in basketball, and I don't know how you must have to sit down for weeks to figure out who's where at this point.
I can do it a team a day. I can do that like a team a day. But it takes more work to do it today. Because you have to really now, you really have to take the time to research guys. It used to be that you would sit there and, okay, he's gone to the draft. He's back, he's a year older, here are the recruits. And that was the ball game. Right? That's the way it was. It's not like that anymore.
I mean, looking at it, I think Purdue didn't take anybody. Penn State, you know,
Purdue lost a guy, by the way, to BYU out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That just happened.
And I mean, Penn State really looks like they're one of the only ones that were kind of filling for depth and preparing for the future. Really, I mean, it seems a lot of the Big Ten teams remade themselves in the offseason.
Yeah, look at Indiana.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Indiana's a prime one. They got the kid from Arizona. They got the shooter from Washington State, among others. They didn't keep many guys. They still have Malik Renew, and they still have McKenzie Mbako. Now, that's big, along with Trey Galloway. So they still have that. but they've just added in so many transfers to change the team. And then I look at Penn State. So this is what I can tell you about Penn State. Because the other part that is the wild card is the new Big Ten. Suddenly out of nowhere, 20% of your schedule happens to be against conference teams you've never played before. Washington, Oregon, USC, UCLA. I mean, a quarter of your schedule. I mean, you're talking about a quarter of your schedule in conference is against all new teams. So those are the wild cards that enter in. So let me tell you what I think of this team watching them this week. They have five players back from last year, four recruits, four transfers. From June 21st, 2023, compared to June 21st, 2024, Penn State's an exponentially better team athletically, physically, and skill-wise than last year. Now, what does that add up to? I'm not going to be able to tell till I start seeing people play. But is Penn State a better team and a better program on June 21st, 2024 compared to June 21st, 2023? There's no doubt that this unit is not just a little ahead, but probably significantly ahead of where they were a year ago. Now, it does help that you have five guys that are back that have played the same system for a year. That helps a lot. But I think they've added in the right transfers. I really like the recruits. But how many wins does it add up to? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell because you don't know how everything, especially at other schools, how it fits together. And that's the difficulty of the transfer portal.
How big is the difference in what they're doing right now than what they were doing last summer at this time? Because I assume last summer at this time, you know, you have to get those guys in shape for the kind of system that Mike wants to play, along with getting to know everybody, and that seems to be a big of issue this year, obviously.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because Greg Golden's the strength and conditioning coach, and I had a long talk with Greg yesterday. And remember, Greg wasn't brought in until about a year ago at the beginning of the month. So he's only been there 12 and a half months. So he wasn't there in the spring when they were getting guys. Well, now he's had them the entire year. You can see right away they're in tremendous shape. And I'm talking about the kind of shape that is needed to play the kind of defense that they want to play and the kind of running game they want to use. So they've got now a strength and conditioning program because you have five guys who have been in it and you have recruits that have now been in it along with training. That now are getting into the shape that's needed to play the style of game Mike wants to play. Okay, that so your point is spot on. That makes a big difference. People have asked about the Goodman kid, who's such a highly regarded, rated recruit. He's off to a great start. Not a good start. He's off to a great start. Now we'll see if he continues to build upon that start. Right, but he is, and that does make a difference. So the learning curve for slightly more than a third of the roster is not a learning curve. They're there, which then in turn can help them talk to the other players about how Penn State does it. And that does make a big difference. All right, we'll take a break. It's half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory-trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
You should see the suit on Air Qatar when he does this. It doesn't remotely look like the notes, but he still does Air Qatar to it.
I think we are, well, maybe not all of us, but some of us do. I never hit the right notes on Air Qatar, though.
I don't do Air Qatar.
You don't strike me as an air guitar kind of guy, Steve.
No, probably not. But, the Kansas governor, Laura Kelly, did sign the legislation today enabling the state to attempt to lure the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals to the Kansas side of the river from Missouri. Missouri officials have argued that discussions about building new stadiums are still in the early stages. They say construction of a new one typically takes 3 years. The Royals are the one that won a new stadium. The Chiefs want to renovate Arrowhead. But what Kansas has done is this. It takes effect July 1st. It will allow bonds to cover 70% of a new stadium's cost. Kansas would have 30 years to pay them off with revenues from sports betting, state lottery ticket sales, and new sales and alcohol taxes generated in the area around each proposed stadium. And they would not lose their identity because it's not just Kansas City, Missouri across the river. It's also Kansas City, Kansas. The Kansas-Missouri border splits the 2.3 million residents in the Kansas City area. 60% of them live on the Missouri side, 40% on the Kansas side. The Royals outlined in February a plan to build a $2 billion-plus ballpark in downtown Kansas City, Missouri. It would be ready for the start of the 2028 season. The Chiefs were planning an $800 million renovation to Arrowhead Stadium. Attorneys for both teams told Kansas legislators they needed to make decisions about the future soon for new stadiums to be ready on time. Some critics suggest the teams are pitting the two states against each other for the biggest government subsidies possible.
No, they would never do anything like that.
You seem so sarcastic.
they're a business. They'd be dumb not to.
Exactly right. The Chiefs and the Royals are pretty much using us, Kansas State Representative Susan Ruiz, a Democrat from Kansas City, said. And by the way, she voted against the bill. It passed overwhelmingly in the House and the Senate in Kansas. And so in Topeka, even the western part of the state, so in Topeka, they overwhelmingly voted for it, and she signed it. But one of the Kansas representatives voted against it. Supporters of bringing the teams to Kansas warned that if neither state acts quickly enough, one or both could leave for another community entirely. Several economists who have studied professional sports were skeptical that a move would make financial sense for either team or a new host city. Blah, 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 blah. Okay? There's a real world out there and not just a think tank. Anybody who tells me a sports team doesn't make a difference, why don't you talk to the businesses Friday through Sunday in downtown State College in the fall? Would you like to have a conversation? Didn't think so. That would be too real world.
I would love to know percentage of profits from some place like that from the weekends in the fall and like Arts Fest compared to the rest of the year.
Yeah. Now, the Arts Fest is coming up. That's another big one.
That's what
now,
I mean.
Okay,
yes.
But you know what's interesting about the Arts Fest is a lot of people come in for a day, enjoy the day. I'm not so sure it has a dramatic effect. I think it helps restaurants, even though there's food for the Arts Festival. They have a lot of food downtown. But, you know, like the bars and so forth, it's great. I don't know what it does for hotels here. You know, how many people stay overnight and do multiple days? I don't know. That's something I've never really... I've always had the feeling that it has some effect, but it's not extensive.
I guess that's more for the locals and like people around here that can drive there in a day than it is for the alums to come out of town.
Right, but there are a lot of people who do come in for the weekend, and they'll stay with friends. Right, that are already living here, especially the younger ones. Then there are other people that come in. It's a day trip. Hey, let's, you know, I was just in Johnstown last night. Hey, let's go from Johnstown. It's 90 minutes up. Okay, great. I have no idea what that picture was, but sure, I'm sure it's great art. Yeah, it's just like, okay, great. And the suit's really into pottery. No. So that's interesting. The financing law does not specifically name the Chiefs Royals. It is limited to stadiums for the NFL and Major League Baseball teams in any state adjacent to Kansas. Okay. it's fairly clear about how you poach, said Kansas City, Missouri Mayor Quentin Lucas during a news conference after the Kansas lawmakers approved the measure. He added that his city would lay out a good offer to keep both teams in his town and that the teams are in an exceptional leverage position, to your point. Is a leverage position, to your point.
And I'm going to guess that these mayors in these states are going to be arguing over this for a while as well.
Well, they can argue about all they want. It's a bottom line, but behind closed doors, what do they tell the two teams?
No.
I mean, I think that. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You can do all the public posturing that you want, but what do you actually sit down and talk to them about? And yeah, I mean that's what you have to wait and see. The public posturing is one thing. Now, have I ever seen public posturing backfire? Sure, we just saw that literally just happen with the TNT NBA contract. The public posturing over that made the NBA look more at NBC, and the TNT bid came up short. So I don't know.
I still can't believe they ended up with $5 billion total. That's
on the NBA?
Yeah.
No, they're going to end up with seven.
Oh, it's 7. That's right. It was 5 was the double, wasn't it?
5.2 would be the double.
Yeah,
and I had said repeatedly that when the NBA say they want to triple their rights, and I said, "Yeah, that's a negotiating ploy, blah 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 blah." Right? Which 9 times out of 10, that you always throw out the high number, right? They got the number. That's like, now they added streaming as a package to get there, but they got the number.
But the rating, like everything else, I realize it's, you know, with it's cutting the cords part of it as well. But their ratings are falling. Like it's amazing that these TV stations are paying all this money for stuff that is falling, but it's also the only thing that's still live anymore as well, though.
Yeah, right. And live sports means everything. That's why I've had people ask me about the current climate of college sports because of the court rulings and the payments and so forth, and do I think it'll ruin it? And I said, look, when free agency came about in the NFL and Major League Baseball, remember, everybody said it was going to ruin those two sports, and yet they're thriving. Now, what hurt Major League Baseball was the last lockout in 94. It's been a long time to come back from it. But, you know, it's, I think that college football, because of your point, live sports, the unpredictability of it, and let's be honest about it, it's also the gambling part of it, the betting on it, and people are watching more than ever.
It's also the last one where you really root for laundry and not the players, because fantasy is not really involved.
Exactly, because you work for the front of the jersey.